and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It's been a quiet night in a small section of downtown L.A. after a city-imposed curfew took effect following four nights of protests over immigration raids.
If you're within that designated curfew zone between the hours of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m., and are not exempt under the order, you're going to be subject to arrest.
Police Chief Jim McDonnell, as ICE expands those raids and Governor Newsom speaks out on President Trump's decision to send in more National Guard troops and the Marines.
Trump, he's not opposed to lawlessness and violence as long as it serves him. What more evidence do we need than January 6th?
The president spoke at Fort Bragg.
What you're witnessing in California is a full-blown assault on peace, on public order, and a national sovereignty carried out by rioters bearing foreign flags.
Protests are spreading across the country. Thousands flooded the streets of New York City, dozens arrested. They turned out in Chicago and Austin, Texas.
Change will only happen when we keep putting pressure on the people in power, the police, ICE, the politicians, everyone.
Elon Musk blinks after last week's blistering breakup with President Trump. In an X post today, Musk says he regrets some of his criticism, which included the president's spending bill. Mr. Trump has since threatened the Tesla chief with what he calls serious consequences. Both sides say they've agreed on a framework to get U.S.-China trade negotiations back on track. The BBC's Stephen McDonald.
It's thought to include several olive branches, including an easing of Beijing's restrictions on rare earth sales to the U.S. and a partial freeing up of China's access to American computer chip technology.
Negotiators are meeting in London. The nation's largest Protestant denomination makes it official.
Southern Baptists have overwhelmingly endorsed a ban on same-sex marriage. Their resolution also looks to reverse the Supreme Court's precedent legalizing it nationwide as it approaches its 10-year anniversary. It's not known if the vote will move the needle. Last year, they voted to condemn in vitro fertilization, only to see President Trump sign an executive order protecting it.
CBS's Matt Piper. Welcome to the TV Hall of Fame, Conan.
I stole a wheelchair about 6 years ago.
Conan O'Brien among the TV Academy's six new inductees.
Hey.
The Fonz, Henry Winkler joins him, so do actress Viola Davis, Glee creator Ryan Murphy, and Mike Post. He composed the Law and Order theme. The induction ceremony will be August 16th in L.A. S&P futures down 7. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers battle back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a victory last night 4-1 to even their series with the Braves at one game apiece. The rubber match today. The homestand continues tomorrow night when the crew hosts the St. Louis Cardinals. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Quarterback Jordan Love was asked for his reaction to the team releasing Jair Alexander.
It's a tough one. You know, it's really tough losing a player Jair's caliber and someone that has been here since I got here. I've got nothing but love for Jair. Love my time being able to play with him, play against him every day. You know, he's a guy that made me better going against him. And we talk after practice a good amount just on what he's seeing with me. And, you know, someone who definitely believed in me from the get-go when I got my opportunity.
NBA Finals tonight in Indianapolis. The Pacers and the Thunder tied at one game apiece.
You know, I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. We can do a lot better job and see if we can get better, you know, going into game three.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Haliburton from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to around 77 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 55. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, it'll be this week's edition of Broad Appeal. I'll be talking with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Craig.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are starting off Act 2 here of this Tuesday night edition. It is a big day here at Nightlight, folks. Conrad Krieger, the man behind the glass, running the board, doing what he does. It's his birthday today. He turns the tender age of 26. So you're welcome to text in, wish him a happy birthday. But our question of the night is, how should Conrad celebrate his birthday? How should a 26-year-old strapping lad celebrate his birthday? He's got the world is his oyster. He lives in downtown Green Bay. You got the world on a string, Conrad. What are you going to do after tonight? Are you going to leave here? Are you taking any of these suggestions we're getting tonight so far?
I'm going to go home and eat dinner.
I'm sorry, I confused you with someone who knew how to party. Okay, it is Conrad's birthday, so that is our question. How do you think he should spend his birthday? We had a great first hour. We talked a little bit with Matt Miller, who we will get back to momentarily here, and we talked about birthdays and all kinds of fun stuff. We gave a little recap of Paddington 3 that Conrad saw, and the show Stick. Oh, Matt Miller, I think Matt wants to weigh in on Paddington 3, so we'll do that too. And Frank Anderson is here at 720, the founder of Wisconsinology.com. Frank is always fun. He's one of our best pals, as is Matt Miller, who we will get back to right now. So, Matt, you gave the thumbs up. I was going to ask you about a horror film, but if we want to kick off with Paddington 3, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, is Paddington 3 not a horror movie? No, I love the Paddington movies, and that includes Paddington in Peru. I found it very charming, very sweet. It's interesting because it's a new director from the first two movies, Paul King. He wasn't able to do third one because he did Wonka, but I still think It has its charms. I still think it's a very sweet, lovely movie. It's probably the least of the three, but I find those movies so insanely charming.
That's great. Yeah, I have not seen one of them. I know that we've laughed at Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal from The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. They reference Paddington 2 and how great it is, and the movies sound very sweet, but with my kids being grown, it's harder for me to sit down and watch a kids movie. So, but those three are on my list. I hear they're just
great. They're so kind. They're like feature length hugs. They're just so nice.
Oh, that's so great. Claire from Knowlton, that's the 618, even though she lives in central Wisconsin now, says in that same vein, the recent Blade Runner 2049 was decent. Matt, I saved that text to see what you thought about that. I saw it too, but it's been a while.
I would agree that the new Blade Runner 2049 was decent. I would argue really good. It is a very gorgeous movie. That's Roger Deakins on the cinematography. So gorgeously done. I wish I liked it as much. Some people love that movie. Some people were like, that movie needed to be a Best Picture nominee. The story is a little too attached to the original Blade Runner. It's kind of got this weird thing where it's kind of got stuff going on and kind of not. I kind of just wish it made its own story in the Blade Runner universe rather than doing the legacy sequel thing where it's like trying to like catch up with all the characters and all that stuff. But no, that movie's, I mean, just period, that movie's gorgeous. Like you could frame every shot of that movie and put it up in your house as artwork. And everyone would be like, good art. You did great.
Yeah. All right, let's pivot and go to my favorite new studio, A24. You saw Bring Her Back. Bring Her Back is A24, right?
It is, yeah. This is like our third A24 movie we've talked about today. They've really kind of become the indie studio.
It just, they're just doing great stuff. Even if it's not a genre I love, they're doing great work. Conrad saw it and did not. Well, you said it wasn't for you, right, Con? It wasn't.
I don't think I watched that.
Who was I just talking to? Somebody just saw Bring Her Back and said, no, thank you. Oh, maybe it was just the trailer you saw. But what did you think, Matt?
Oh, yes, it was the trailer. Okay. I said this movie looks scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your opinion of the trailer is the one I have of the entire movie. No, thank you. You know, it's a shame because it's directed by two brothers who started on YouTube. I believe they're pronounced like the Philippou brothers. They're from New Zealand or Australia, I believe. And their first movie, Talk to Me, came out about 2 years ago, was a little summer horror movie hit. And that movie's good. They have that movie's got a little zip to it. It's got a mean bone in its body, but it's also, you know, a fun horror movie. And this one to me is just a kind of unpleasant slog. It is this unrelenting, for those who don't know, it's about these two kids who get adopted by Sally Hawkins from The Shape of Water. But she also has this other child who's very weird, and you find out why as that movie goes along. And it's just unrelenting in a very grim and ugly way, but not in an interesting way either. It's trying to be about grief and trauma, because every kind of prestige horror movie is about grief and trauma these days. But there's just no feeling behind it. It feels... There's no emotion to it. And that even goes to the violence in the movie. It's an extremely violent, gory movie. It is not, it is pretty gross. If you are not a blood person, this is not the movie for you. But like, for as violent as it is and as gory as it is, it doesn't really hit. It's just a very cold movie. And I was sitting there and I hit like the 2/3 mark and I was like, I don't need to keep watching this. And I did. I kept watching it because I am, you know, try to be a good ethical critic. but I just did not have a very good time watching it whatsoever. And it also just wasn't that scary. Like, you know, the scariest thing about it is that it's one of those movies where you spend the entire running time waiting for the movie to catch up with what you, the audience, already knows is going on.
Brutal.
And you're like, come on, character, stop acting stupid. Like, figure this stuff out. We've all figured it out. Everyone should know what's going on at this point. So, I'm disappointed. I was disappointed by that one quite a bit. I think they're really talented young filmmakers. But this is a true sophomore slump on their part.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's keep it in that genre. Let's talk about some movies that still will open up this summer, Matt. I would say the box office is off to a great start with Lilo and Stitch. And I know it was ahead or caught up or something like that to its pre-pandemic days. But 28 years later, speaking of horror films, Danny Boyle is back directing the third installment, I believe, correct?
Yes, this is the third one, and he didn't direct the second one, so he's... And this is also the first Danny Boyle movie in, like, half a decade.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Yeah, he hasn't directed anything since the, I think, 2019 Yesterday, the What If the Beatles Didn't Exist movie.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, I think part of it is just they stopped making the movies Danny Boyle makes, you know? If you look at the genres of movies, Hollywood really doesn't make as much anymore. It's a lot of, you know, mid-level budget movies for adults. And that was kind of Danny Boyle's, you know, sweet spot, you know, stuff like 127 Hours, Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting. Like, he makes stuff that now A24 basically is the only studio really making regularly and with big budgets. But I'm very excited to see him back. I'm very excited to see him back in 28 years later. So much so that I have not watched the trailers for this movie. I have tried desperately to avoid seeing as much as that. Because, like, I'm in. I'm already excited about this. The 28 Days franchise is really interesting. Both the movies, 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later, I think they're both really well done.
Same.
And they've been hard to find, weirdly enough, especially 28 Days Later. I think part of that is just because that movie was like filmed on like my dad's VCR camera. And so it looks terrible. And so in this modern age of, you know, renovated like Blu-rays and like 4K definition, you know, I think a lot of studios were like, are we really going to do like a restored version of this home video looking movie?
Right.
Now it's starting to get on streaming again. And it sounds like it's going to open really big, which I'm very excited about. The first teaser, which I did watch the first teaser, is really good. It's really exciting. It looks like nothing else because Danny Boyle is such a vivid filmmaker. I can't wait. It's one of the movies that I've been most excited about this summer.
I am too. It's got a great cast. Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Jodie Comer, and Ralph Fiennes is in it. And I like the first two as well. And that first one, Matt, I think that's the one you met, or maybe both of them you couldn't find. The first 28 days, I couldn't watch. I started it years ago, and then about a year ago, I went back to it. I go, I got to finish that. And it wasn't available to stream. And then all of a sudden it was. Somebody had to acquire the rights or something like that. But now you can see them both. And I'm with you. I liked them both. I'm very excited about this film as well, though.
Yeah. I think part of it, too, is I think they may have fallen into kind of a like studio rights like black hole. Because I think the first movie is like, I think it might be like a weird shingle of like 20th Century Fox. And obviously Fox is now bought by Disney. So I just think the rights got maybe lost. And again, you know, their priorities were not in getting this modestly successful horror movie back in front of people's eyes. But now I'm very excited.
Same. All right. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, Matt. Let's get your thoughts on, you've got Superman. There's a Jurassic Park, Happy Gilmore 2, lots of stuff opening still this summer. And what are you most excited about?
I'm excited about Superman. I like James Gunn a lot. I think he's a very good director, especially when he's working. Like, obviously, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are some of the best Marvel movies that were made. His Suicide Squad movie is insanely good. Not the Jared Leto one, the one that no one saw that came out in 2021.
Right.
So I'm excited to see his take on Superman. He's kind of the perfect guy to it. He has this really heartfelt, sincere bone, but he also has this like love of weirdness, which kind of fits perfectly with Clark Kent. You know, he is a super sincere alien superhero man. Like, he kind of seems perfect for it. I'm a little nervous because when I see the trailers, they're loading it up with all of this like, oh, we're going to have Hawkgirl and the Green Lantern and we're going to have this extended universe. And I'm like, I don't want that. Just make me a good Superman movie first. Right. And if you make a good Superman movie, then I'll want to see more of your movies. I'll want to see more of your universe. Hopefully it's more focused on being a Superman movie and not trying to be five other starter franchises at the same time.
Right.
But we'll see. I know, you know, Warner Brothers, they really want to rejigger their DC universe again. They really want to, you know, bring that back to the forefront after the past DCU kind of died on the vine with Zack Snyder. So we'll see how it turns out. I think it's going to be a big hit. I don't know if it's going to be the monster hit that they think it's going to be, but I am happy to be proven wrong.
What movie are you, we've got about a minute left, Matt. What are you least, like, what does not excite you at all that still has to open?
I'm waiting to be excited by Jurassic World Rebirth. Okay. I'm like waiting for the moment for it to like click and for it to have like this exciting new idea. And all the trailers just look to me like, oh, so it's Jurassic World again, but this time Scarlett Johansson's there doing Black Widow, but Dinosaur Hunter. Like, I'm just waiting for the part. And the director's really good. Gareth Edwards did the Godzilla movie. He did The Creator. He's a good director. I just haven't seen anything there. And I'll say the one I'm least looking forward to is Brideheart. I like seeing comedy back in theaters, but if I never have to see another movie about a wedding that all of a sudden turns into an action movie, I will die a happy man. I don't understand why that like subgenre of
action, how did that happen?
Has become the only genre that studios will greenlight in terms of comedy. But we got to put it to bed. We got to take it out back and send it to the farm upstate.
I think that's a great end of the segment. Very funny. Matt Miller, great stuff. Thank you, buddy, as always.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you for letting me cool down after my workout.
That's Matt Miller. You can follow him at A Man About Film on his Substack. He does great work. We are coming right back, folks, with Mr. Frank Anderson, the founder of Wisconsinology.com. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. We are celebrating the K-Man's birthday tonight. It is Conrad Krieger's birthday. He turns the ripe old age of 26 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, our question of the night is, what should Conrad do to celebrate his birthday? Dave on the stream says, go out to Siegel Bar, start a fire, chillax. Dave is referring to Siegel Bar in Marinette, Wisconsin. Many people will boat out to this sort of sandbar dealio that comes way out from Red Arrow Park in Marinette, and people will have bonfires there sometimes. It is a good place to chillax. Thank you, Dave. Dearmageddon the Musical says, we need a Godfather of Green Bay universe. See what happens when you have Lance Barber on the show, Conrad? People, Mike Desitel is suggesting sequels again. We know they want to franchise a movie that didn't make any money, really.
I think it's time for a second one.
Okay. Dearmageddon the Musical also says, JB. That's JB. That's the guy behind the guy. Behind the guy. And he says, Conrad should celebrate with a trip to an all-you-can-eat sushi place with Daniel Wheeler. Boy, you're getting golf outing invitations, Conrad. People want to take you out for sushi. It must be nice to feel loved.
Yeah, you know, I think I might take a couple of those up.
Do it. And if you don't like it, take a powder. All right. This is exciting, folks. We haven't had our next guest on. He's one of our best pals. We haven't had him on in a while. He just came off a huge vacation to the last frontier. We'll talk to him about that, too. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight, showbiz renaissance man and founder of Wisconsinology.com. If you haven't seen it, you should. Frank Anderson joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. You know, you haven't made a movie in a while.
Well, I know. You got a check for me?
No, I know why.
Why?
You haven't. All movies come from good titles, and I've got one for you.
Oh, please.
Ready?
Yeah.
Big Trouble in Little Suamico.
Part of that's already been
too
taken.
Too obscure.
and frankly,
I'm always too obscure.
That would be a love letter to Suamico, right? Not Wisconsin.
No.
I like the title, though. Little bedroom community, some shenanigans.
Oh, I know what
happen.
Conrad should do tonight.
Oh, tell me, please.
Conrad, I didn't know he was 26. Amazing.
Yeah, he's much more mature.
He seems so mature. Yeah,
I agree.
He should do what people who are in Green Bay have done for over a century, to have a good time.
What's that?
Go to Appleton.
That was a very subtle dig.
Hello.
at one of your sister cities here in Northeast Wisconsin, Frank. Well, there is a lot of fun stuff to do in Appleton. You could get in some trouble in Appleton.
Oh, you can get in a lot of trouble. Come on, America's drinkiest city. Let's go.
That's right. There's some nefarious things happening in your fair city, Frank. So, hey, tell us, before we get into some topics I can't wait to discuss with you, how was Alaska? You were there for quite a while. Wait, is it your birthday, or was it your birthday a day or two ago?
No, it was not.
Okay, I saw on the Wisconsinology Facebook page, was it Wisconsinology's birthday?
Might have been.
Somebody said, yeah, on June 8th, they said happy birthday. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to miss out.
Probably, I don't know. I mean, it's been around so long, I don't know anymore.
Well, how was Alaska? I was there years and years ago to do stand-up. Oh, just okay?
Well, it's so remote.
Yeah.
It's much more remote than anyone who has not been there knows or thinks or can even imagine. And yeah, it's fine. It was cold.
what was your point in going there? Was it just an exploratory trip?
I don't
trip?
Know. I've been asking myself that question ever since I got back.
Was it like
landed and went, what the hell was that?
Oh, wow. Where in Alaska did you go? Was it just Anchorage or?
Oh, I did it in Juneau, Anchorage, cruise down the coast.
Okay.
The usual, you know, the touristy stuff. I did all the touristy stuff. And those cruise ships to me are like a floating mausoleum. Oh, my God. Anyway, it all ended up in, I forgot the name of the place, some little Ketchikan or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they had this tourist show, featuring lumberjacks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lumberjacks, they're doing a show. It's Timber Sports, it's called. And, they cut the tree down, rappel down the tree, all that shit. And then they have a big, axe-wielding contest. And it was kind of fun. And they pitted each one against each other. You know, one guy was from Michigan. One guy was from Vermont. And then they introduced this fellow as being from Alaska. I heard him speak, and I went, that guy's not from Alaska.
Why was
it turned out to be Turbo Tom Lancaster, the king of the lumberjacks from Hayward, Wisconsin.
No way.
That's right.
That's so fun. And it's so typical that you're there because you tie everything in the history of the universe to Wisconsin.
Well, it's true.
I know. And that's so funny that this happened when you were there and this guy was actually. But so why would he diss his hometown like that and not claim
it? Well, he didn't do it.
Okay.
For the show, they needed someone to pretend that they were from Alaska, just to help Alaska along. But you and I know, when it comes to mowing down trees, nobody compares to Wisconsin.
I know. We have in Marinette, we have a big show every year. It's like log days or lumber days or something, and they do the log rolling, and these guys get up there. It's like there's some serious skilled professionals in that.
That is the world championship of lumberjack skills. And Turbo Tom is a multi-champion. So I got all interested in Turbo Tom Lancaster. He's fabulous, so by the way. That guy, I mean, one chop, that tree's down.
He brings it. Well, we're going to do this. Okay, I'm sorry your vacation was not maybe what you had hoped it would be. So let's get that bad taste of Alaska out of my mouth. And when we come back after the news, I'm going to ask Frank about a lot of really cool stuff, some Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees and an Indian burial ground, so to speak. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's been a quiet night in L.A. after Mayor Karen Bass stepped in following four nights of anti-ICE raid protests downtown.
I have declared a local emergency and issued a curfew for downtown Los Angeles to stop the vandalism, to stop the looting.
Protests spreading out across the country. This demonstrator addressed a crowd in Milwaukee.
The only people invading our communities are the ICE agents, the other federal cops, the National Guard, and the Marines.
Protesters have also taken to the streets of Chicago, Austin, Texas, and New York City, where dozens have been arrested. Progress reported at Trade Talks, the BBC's Stephen McDonnell.
The deal struck in London has been described as a framework to pave the way for further talks, if Xi Jinping and Donald Trump both approve its wording.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Brewers battle back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a victory last night 4-1 to even their series with the Braves at one game apiece. The rubber match today. The homestand continues tomorrow night when the crew hosts the St. Louis Cardinals. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Quarterback Jordan Love was asked for his reaction to the team releasing Jair Alexander.
It's a tough one. You know, it's really tough losing a player Jair's caliber and someone that has been here since I got here. Got nothing but love for Jair. Love my time being play with him, play against him every day. You know, he's a guy that made me better going against him. And we talk after practice a good amount just on what he's seeing with me. And, you know, someone who definitely believed in me from the get-go when I got my opportunity.
NBA Finals tonight in Indianapolis. The Pacers and the Thunder tied at one game apiece.
You know, I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. We can do a lot better job and see if we can get better, you know, going into game three.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to around 77 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 55. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's a new way to teach kids math. Maybe Greg and I will learn how to add. Also, Rich Smith from the 6th Street Theater will be here. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Little Miles Davis on your birthday. Can't be too bad, Conrad. It is Conrad's birthday. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Our question of the night was what should Conrad do to celebrate his birthday? And we've gotten quite a lot of different suggestions. Jim from Brookfield, he's in the 262. He says, happy birthday, Conrad. When I hit 60, I told my wife that I wanted to get on my bike and ride 60 miles. So after having some fun tonight, get on a bike tomorrow morning, Conrad, and bike 26 miles. That sounds like a really awful birthday. if I can just weigh in, Conrad, it's your birthday. You do as you please. But
Tomorrow would be too late because it won't be my birthday anymore.
That's true. Darn the luck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim, for the text. And kudos on 60 miles. That's incredible. I mean, I have a car, but if I didn't, I would be even more. No, that's fantastic, though. 60 miles at 60 years old. Very impressive. And thank you for the text. Frank Anderson is with us, folks. Our pal Frank Anderson. He's the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. He is a writer, producer, editor, animator. He does it all. And he's made films, commercials, music. He plays with Butch Vig often and many bands. And Frank, we're going to have you back when Joey's song gets closer, because I know you're a big part of that. And that is an absolute bash every January in Madison.
Yeah, you got to horn in on that. That's a pretty big to-do.
Yeah.
And it'd be a lot of fun if you were around.
I think I'm going to try to make arrangements to do that. I love doing the show from Madison when I do it.
And bring Conrad.
I will. Conrad, how do you feel about that?
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Conrad calls his own shots now, Frank. I don't know if you do that. Hey, so I wanted to ask you, you're a music guy. You know probably more about music than anybody I know. This year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, the first one you mentioned on your Facebook post was Chubby Checker and The Twist. And, at my age, Frank, The Twist was before I was even born, and it was one of these things that was just a phenomenon. For those of us who don't, and I don't even know how much of it you remember, but what was that like? And where was America
at
this time?
It was before my time.
Okay. The 50s, right?
No. It was 1960 to 62.
Okay. Why was that such a... I mean, it's a cool dance. I get it. But where was
before
America at
twist,
that this is the thing?
I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Before The Twist.
Okay.
Couples danced together. They held hands. They did the foxtrot. They did jitterbug, whatever.
Boring.
But there was always touching, right? Touching
okay.
was involved. And you had certain steps.
Sure.
The Twist broke that. All of a sudden, you're free to do your own free-form thing opposite each other. And that's what we ended up growing up with. By the mid-60s, all hell breaks loose. There's about 100 dancers, and everybody's just doing their own thing anyway, apart. And that's the huge revolution that The Twist was. It was like a gentle first step towards the mayhem of the later 60s. But it was so huge. And the part I bring to it, I grew up in the Philippines.
Yeah.
It was insane over there. They literally ate up every new dance and music craze that came over from the USA. And it was on TV. It was everywhere. It was just astounding. So far more than any of the other inductees, I believe Chubby Checker is the coolest of all.
Yeah. Well, how did you feel about, pardon me, some of the other inductees, Warren Zevon, you made a quote that's, or you made a comment that his song Werewolves of London, he did a song I loved called Sentimental Hygiene. I don't know if you remember that, but that was
I know that one. I had all his albums. He had one real good album, and he had he had some really nice songs on there.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's Rock and Roll Hall of Famey.
Yeah. It is weird. Every year they come out and I'm like, well, okay. But are they just trying to get, is it a tourism thing? They want more people to tour?
No, it's a certain group of people who have foisted classic rock over our damn heads for the last 40 years. I mean, we can't escape that crap, you know?
Yeah.
And, people will defend, oh, my music was the best music.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's a certain generation, and it's L.A. rock 1972 when the man took over the business right up to the 80s. And, I mean, that's true. I've read so many rock and roll biographies where someone like Pete Townsend or other great songwriter, McCartney himself, said 1969 was the last year where they felt like they could do anything.
Really?
You know, no rules, no nothing. Corporate America didn't know what to do with all this music. They were terrible at packaging it. And there was freedom. And then they of course, they're going to take control again. And they did. And a prime example of that is the rock of the 70s, the Eagles, things like that. They're so corporate, so tightly controlled, and so carefully done. It's almost anti-rock and roll.
Man, people have issues with the Eagles. I have to say I like the Eagles, but they've become kind of a, I know they made fun of them in the Big Lebowski, but I hear more often than not, I hear a lot of people say stuff like what you just said. If rock and roll hadn't become corporatized, whatever you want to call it, would the Eagles have had a different sound? I mean, they're still good musicians and their music, they had some good songs.
Yeah, but sure. I mean, they're very good at writing tuneful songs. We know every one of them.
Yeah.
We know it all. And I'm sure they would have been something, but the Eagles, more so than anything, they represent that careful control that happened. And it was careful controlled, and it was completely directed from the top. And up, you know, from that point till, the big stadium acts, a lot of kids today don't understand that those stadium acts couldn't draw anything by the late 70s. They were considered, they called them dinosaurs. You remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, and I remember going to Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and there was, room for 4,000 people in the Coliseum, and there were like 600 people there. You know?
My guest is Frank Anderson. Check out Wisconsinology.com or follow Wisconsinology.com on Facebook. Frank, it's funny you said you posted something today on Facebook because I always go to the website. I look at your posts on Facebook, but not necessarily Wisconsinology's. So that's a great place to follow Wisconsinology as well on Facebook. So tell us, I really want to get to this. The Aztalan Indians, they were a branch of the Cahokia Indians outside of East St. Louis. You posted this great video from 1960, anthropologists from the Wisconsin Historical Society. And what you posted really grabbed me. You said it gets very morbid around 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Tell us why that is and what these archaeologists found. I thought it was really cool.
Because they were cannibals.
Yeah.
They sacrificed the dead and they ate the dead. And kind of awesome.
Yeah. And
years ago, I was involved in a show called Spirit the Seventh Fire, Peter Buffett's traveling show involving all the tribal nations. And it was the river dance of Native Americans. Good way to put it.
Yeah.
And I mistakenly told an Aztec who was in the helping out the show. I forgot what he was. I was bragging about Aztalan. I go, you got to go there. They have these two sacrificial temples on each side of them. And then today, they actually now gather since that moment in Aztalan,
really?
Even though they have no relationship to Aztec or Mayan culture or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, these were the middle Mississippian culture of 1,000 years ago. And it's a fascinating, huge civilization. And we're so lucky to have this northern outpost that any of you can see in Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Jefferson or Aztlan is a town, right?
It is. Well, okay. It's got four buildings, but yeah. Yes, it is.
It's barely a town. Well, I thought it was so cool that they said in the video, and you should check this out, folks, if you go to, where can people see this video, Frank? Would that be on your Facebook, Wisconsinology page?
Wisconsinology, okay. Facebook. Yeah. Wisconsinology Facebook is full of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to go in there and dig, there's a ton of stuff.
It's great. And I love how they said, this archaeologist or anthropologist said in 1960, he was being interviewed, and he said, that's when they discovered they were cannibals, and they had just human bones discarded with, like, fish bones. ate, like, an arm and tossed the bone in the hole. It was just so incredible.
Well, you wonder why they had to leave all of a sudden, because they do. You know, is it climate change? Yes, there was climate change then. And is it? They were just, you know, jerks. And the surrounding native tribes were just sick of them.
Right.
You know, it could be.
One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, Frank, was I've seen you've written about on Wisconsinology, and I think I saw a recent post on Facebook about the Hodag. And I've heard about this for so long in Wisconsin. I've talked about it a little bit on this show. You had a great post about JFK being presented with a mini Hodag. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, JFK, who, of course, won the Wisconsin primary, that was the biggest win of his primary run, and it really kicked him off into high gear. He loved Wisconsin. His lobotomized sister was kept down in Jefferson County. At an institute there, and which, by the way, is surrounded by older Native American burial mounds and effigy mounds. Hmm. And he was Green Bay Packers' number one fan.
Really?
Of course. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he loved this state. He loved everything about it. He loved Door County. He loved the Apostle Islands. He loved everything. And
nice.
A really big connection there, though, was he was Catholic in eastern Wisconsin. Was still is in some way overly Catholic, one of the biggest Catholic populations per capita in the United States.
Yeah.
And in 1960, when he was running, and the famous movie, Primary, everybody out there should watch Primary. It's about the Wisconsin Democratic primary, and it's insane when you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, the priests and bishops and nuns screaming and yelling and fainting while JFK drives by. It's amazing. And great shots of Green Bay and Milwaukee and such. But it was crazy back then. But he was a Wisconsin lover.
That's so cool. And they gave him a mini Hodag, which I thought was interesting, but I'm also like, whatever happened to that? Will that turn up on eBay at some point? Like, where did the mini Hodag make its way through Kennedy lore? You know, like, was it?
I wonder. You know, who got it?
Right. Exactly.
Is Caroline going to wear a mini Hodag?
I hope it's her.
A younger member?
That's right. We're going to come back. We'll have a couple more minutes with Frank after a very short break. Also, John F. Kennedy was at Marinette Catholic Central, my high school, when he was campaigning. And the last time he was on Wisconsin soil, and I saw this because I was there, Ashland Airport, Frank. Did you know that? I'm sure you did.
No.
Yeah.
I did not.
A little tiny airport in Ashland, Wisconsin. It was like a week before he died or whatever. So Frank Anderson is here. We'll have a couple more minutes. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise, without my pride, I reach out from the inside.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a highly controversial action, President Trump is testing the reach of his powers by sending 4,700 military personnel into Los Angeles to suppress protests. What are Title 10, the Insurrection Act, and the Posse Comitatus Act? The Posse Comitatus Act forbids the use of the military to enforce laws against U.S. citizens under ordinary situations, but there are extremely rare exceptions. In his mobilization of the California National Guard and active duty Marines, Trump invoked Title 10, a statute enabling the U.S. Armed Forces. Section 251 says, whenever there is an insurrection in any state against its government, the president may, upon the request of its legislature or of its governor if the legislature cannot be convened, call into federal service such of the militia of the other states in the number requested by that state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to suppress the insurrection. No such request was made by state officials. Under the Insurrection Act, the American Constitution Center notes three circumstances where a president may use the military on U.S. soil: when a local official asks for assistance, when an insurrection against the federal government or judiciary occurs, or when a state refuses to uphold civil rights. What constitutes an insurrection? That will likely be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Thanks for being with me on this Tuesday night, a very special Tuesday night. Conrad Krieger's birthday, he turns 26, the big 26. We wish him a great year and hopefully a great year at Nightlight. So I'm saying that like you're not even here.
I'm here.
I know you are.
No, I did take a powder for a little bit.
Okay. Everyone's got to check out for a little bit. Hey, tomorrow night on the show, Rich Tallarico will be here. Rich is a Key and Peele writer. He wrote the famous A Substitute Teacher sketch. Rich also connected me with someone who's going to talk about new Sydney Sweeney products that are coming. Not just her bathwater soap. She's got other stuff lined up, too. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk with Rich right after that. And then Christina Laurie from Up North News will be here. Christina was on the show a couple months ago, and she's great fun, too, and has great Wisconsin facts. And I'm sure our current guest, Frank Anderson, is aware of the work Christina does. Have you heard of the Up North News, Frank?
I sure have. I've shared the Facebook feed many times.
Yeah, they have great stories. I love you guys are a great combination with that, too. So we have a couple more minutes, Frank. What? Let's do this. Do you want to talk about the Ringling Brothers' wives? I didn't really have a chance to look too much at that, but you seem kind of excited about that post. Is there interesting or new information there we need to know?
No, not really.
Okay. All right, good talking to you. Or we could talk about Sylvester Stewart, who just passed away. Sly Stone, were you a fan?
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. What did you see the documentary, Frank, on him? I think it was on Hulu called Sly Lives.
I'm
Man, that was fun.
Fascinated by Sylvester Stewart.
Me too. And
he produced such great singles before Sly and the Family Stone. The Bo Brummels had two hit songs. He produced them. He made the kick drum louder and gave more emphasis on the drums when he was mixing them. And you could always tell when he was producing, there was a spark to the music.
Yeah.
It's too bad I don't know. He had the addiction's a terrible disease.
Yeah. He was. And I think in that documentary, I was fascinated that they figured out, they did a real deep dive into one of his songs and found out that Janet Jackson and the producers took it for Rhythm Nation. It was like three or four beats. But like, I loved how they talked about all of the artists he influenced, like such a punk pioneer, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Stevie Wonder and Prince. Like, I think more people should see that documentary, because I always liked his music. I didn't know half of what I knew before I saw that documentary.
Yeah, and it makes it all even more tragic when you realize how far ahead of his time he was.
Absolutely.
Easily 20 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, for sure. And spinning tunes in San Francisco at like 15, like he was like a prodigy in so many ways. It was
he
a really
was
cool
a
story.
Prodigy. Completely.
Frank, you're a prodigy. And it is an absolute pleasure. You might not be, I don't know if you're a prodigy, Frank. I think you are at the steel guitar, maybe, or the slide guitar. What's that instrument technically called?
Pedal. Steel guitar.
Pedal steel guitar. But you
are. Yeah, I was when I was 13.
That's amazing. And you're an actual showbiz renaissance man. All the hats you've worn, I assume you appreciate that about yourself, but I think it's pretty amazing. I haven't met too many people like you.
Yeah. That's all right.
I'm a pretty special guy, Pete. Yeah, I'll tip of the hat. Hey, this is always fun, buddy. Thank you so much, and glad you're home safely from horrible Alaska. And let's do this
no
again.
Safe cruise ship.
Yeah. All right, Frank. Have a great night. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Always. That's Frank Anderson. Check out wisconsinology.com or follow Wisconsinology on Facebook. So many fun things that Frank posts sometimes daily. He does great work there. So, Conrad, overall, how would you say your birthday has been when it comes to a nightlight perspective?
Well, sadly, Steady Eddie hasn't texted in yet.
Oh, he's going to pay for that.
And so I was hoping for a nice poem for my birthday from him.
He's running out of time because Steady Eddie, you know, he does not text in a couple words. You know, we have to have enough time to read Steady Eddie's
posts. Have to have a whole segment.
Exactly. But we did hear from Ross from Crawford County. He's in the 608. He says, happy 26th, Conrad. Short and sweet. I love that.
Yeah,
it's nice to be wished happy birthday. That's so much fun. So you're just going to go home and chill. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the grocery store after this real quick, grab some chicken breasts, and then cook them.
You know, the sad thing is nobody at that grocery store is going to know it's your birthday. You're going to walk around. You're going to look like a sad sack, like all these other single guys looking for their chicken. And I feel like people should know, hey, it's my birthday today.
I should go on the announcer that they have.
Yes.
Just, it's my birthday. Give me free chicken breasts.
I think, well, I don't know if you want to get belligerent like that, but yeah, no, you go on like on those Instagram posts when these these guys that are lacking entertainment in their lives go up and grab the customer service mic and put it at their butt and rip one. You ever see those videos?
I have.
I'm ashamed that I laugh at those, but I'm more laughing at that someone has the gall to do that. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish by doing that?
Make a viral video.
I guess so. Yeah. But nobody sees the guy's face.
They achieve it because if you're seeing it, it's probably.
Yeah, I guess.
And all they got was a ban from that Walmart.
Right. They can never shop at Walmart again. So I'm not saying do that, but maybe go there and just say, hey, I'm Conrad. It's my birthday. Thank you, ladies.
Can I get something free?
Right. Oh, look at this. Just under the wire. Steady Eddie. Conrad, peace. Steady Eddie.
Love it.
In some ways, that's his best text ever because it's so short and sweet and to the point. As I mentioned, Rich Tallarico will be here. Rich wrote the substitute teacher sketch on Key and Peele. Aaron J. Quellen. You've seen it. He's a comedic genius. He will be here tomorrow. And Christina Laurie. I'm so glad we got in touch with Christina Laurie. She's such a fun guest, and I look forward to speaking with her again tomorrow night. My thanks to our guests tonight on this festive Conrad birthday show, Frank Anderson and Matt Miller. Thank you for all your texts and birthday wishes on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Hope everyone has a great night. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all over. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In a couple of hours, the first night of a curfew lifts in a small portion of downtown L.A., where anti-ICE raid protesters have been demonstrating. CBS News L.A.'s Tom Waite was there when the new restriction kicked in.
Officers giving orders down here, telling people to leave, giving them a little bit of grace here. Even though the curfew is technically in effect, people are still being allowed to leave without being arrested.
President Trump's restoring Confederate names, including Robert E. Lee's, to some U.S. military bases.
We won a lot of battles out of those forts. It's no time to change. And I'm superstitious, you know, I like to keep it going, right?
Search crews on the case after hikers in Washington State say they may have spotted the father wanted in the murders of his three young daughters. Cairo TV's Brooke Griffin.
They say that person was acting suspicious, and then whenever the authorities tried to fly a helicopter over the lone hiker, that person then ran from them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Local.